Tonight, we're just going to continue another one on foreign words and ways, mostly just foreign words tonight that are foreign to modern Christianity or to modern Christians. And I'm happy enough to think that you guys know these things and not foreign to you at all, so I hope I'm not putting us on a boring, repetitious basis for you. And oftentimes, we're going to do this. It'll be on record. It'll be on file. It'll be in the computer. It'll be online for whatever. And the word that people have such a hard time with when we talk about it, but it's not a hard time when they live. The modern Christian lives like they believe that all things are lawful. So, if we look at 1 Corinthians 6:12, for example, I'm you to back me up, Mark, and I think everything's going well here. All things are lawful unto me. 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. And we're going to look at that a little closer. We're going to kind of go beyond that a little bit, partly because I know y'all know this stuff, but when you know whatever God has, the devil has a copy of it, or he has an imitation, whatever. And today's modern Christianity, is a lot like all things are lawful. Because a modern Christian, whether they be a strong Bible person or just a King James guy or or whatever they are anymore, everybody's living like all things are lawful. It doesn't matter to them the things that are told. You know, the folks that even believe in the Gospels for their doctrine don't even do the things that are in the Beatitudes anyway. Everybody has love and peace and all that stuff, but come on. There are things that are going on. There's things that people see and do that shouldn't be done. Same thing with Paul's teachings, but it's as if they really believe it, but yet we know it's not true. They have an imitation lawfulness. They get mad at us. Come on, throat. They get mad at us and think we're crazy and nuts to think that the Bible talks about all things are lawful now. And they think we're strange to think that, but yet they live a life that all things are lawful as well. They just have to confess some of the things that are wrong. So it is a folly. And the devil copies that thing. So we can see that in modern Christianity. I think that's probably why a lot of Paul-following Christians get tired of this stuff. And, well, listen, if all things are lawful, what's the point? I just go out there and do anything I want. I'll worry about the judgment seat later. Which is how you have to deal with it, I guess. But what we see here is a great example of the way of God more perfectly. Because Paul is the only place you can go to find out the details of this all things are lawful stuff. What are you talking about? The only place you can go is Paul. It's the more excellent way, as he puts it. And yet, they won't go to Paul because I guess they like to do the confession thing. I guess. I don't know. So, let's just look at this, all things are lawful. How can that be? All things are lawful unto me now. I mean, that's pretty wild if you think about it here. Let's go to, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6:12. Okay, I'm going to pull up a definition here. Let's get it straight from Webster's mouth, back in the old days, Webster. And that's the word expedient. Because he says in 1 Corinthians 16:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So we see here that we've got some strings attached to this lawful living that we have. So, I guess I'm jumping the gun. Let's hang on just for a minute. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I kind of jumped the gun here. We have to look at the way of God more perfectly in detail to find out how we can even say all things are lawful. Like I say, modern Christians tend to live like all things are lawful, and the few things they aren't, then they confess them, or God loves them and doesn't pay any attention to that stuff anymore because now they're born again and they're clean soul, clean life, clean living, and everything's good now because God loves everybody, all that kind of stuff. We're looking at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And I hope there's some beginners listening to this thing sometime here. And I'm talking with somebody that's in the Air Force that wrote a question. I'm hoping maybe they can get into this thing here. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Obviously, we have to believe. We have to be Christians. We have to be those that are following Paul as such, that he follows the risen Savior. Our trust is not in Paul. Our trust is in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. But yet again, we are still trusting this Bible to be the Word of God. And God is not going to show us anything in our little minds and hearts. Unless it comes through this book. So, to everyone that believeth, yes, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So when you read something like that, then you kind of jump over to Galatians 2:19. Jump over to Galatians 2:19. We're seeing how this comes about and what this means. Galatians 2:19. And it says here, for I, through the law, which would be the law, showed us what's going on here, am dead to the law now. I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So Christ took care of the law. Romans chapter 10 is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Law still exists. In Galatians chapter 3, the law still exists to show people that they need Christ. But in verse 25, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So we're past this law thing. So when he says all things are lawful, he really means all things are lawful. I mean, it's okay. Is it okay or is it just lawful? Okay? Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. So before anybody out there in the webs, whatever, gets kind of tweaked about the whole thing, it just says that all things are lawful. In other words, there's no law put on us anymore. Does it mean that we can do all this stuff? Well, we can do everything, but it'll burn in the judgment seat. It affects how we build upon the foundation. But as far as being looked upon as sin, as far as losing your salvation over it, or losing your fellowship with God, which is what the King James guys have to rely on, and so you better confess that stuff. No, it doesn't affect any of that stuff. And then everybody always says, do you mean to tell me that you can go out there and you can kill somebody? And they always go to that thing. So, whatever they go to. But Romans chapter 3, verse 28, let's look at that one. Romans 3:28. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So we're looking here at no longer concerned about the law. Just the Levitical law? No, beyond the Levitical law. The Ten Commandment law. How about the Gospels law? How about everything that we're told that we should not do? Thou shalt not. And if you notice what Paul says, Paul never says, I have to make this a study, but I don't think he ever says, thou shalt not. It's just not wise to do some things. It's not the right thing to do. It doesn't please God. But, hey, all things are lawful. And then we deal with the fact that the modern Christian who gets away with their music and their immodesty and their homes all messed up and out of order, God doesn't seem to stop them. So they think, must be okay. No, we just have to realize that this is the dispensation where God, Romans chapter 2, is letting things go their way. A lost person storing up treasure for his wrath, and a saved person storing up his works for the judgment seat of Christ. But as far as sin goes, sin's been taken care of. If you're a believer, if you're saved. So, look at Romans 4:15. Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no transgression. So, when somebody says they can lose their salvation, the way of God more perfectly here, through Paul, explains in detail how it is that there's nothing out there now that we could do that would cause us to lose our salvation, because there is no law, so there is no transgression. Now, for those that are maybe listening for the first time sometime, that sounds pretty wild and crazy. Again, I don't know why, because most modern Christians live the worldly life anyway, and they just confess them. Well, we realize that we can do things that will please God now, Romans 8:8, and yeah, we do some things we shouldn't be doing too. But we don't have to confess them. Christ paid for them. And the very people that think that we have to confess things, otherwise they won't be forgiven, saying Jesus paid it all. Well, if Jesus paid it all, why do you have to confess all this stuff? That was one of my first questions a number of years ago. So, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, he says. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also which is of the faith of Abraham, that's us. Now, let's also look at Romans 5. Let's go down to 13. These are the key verses to show people, these modern Christians who think God loves them and just isn't going to stop anything. No, he's not choosing. He's not choosing to allow you to continue in what you're doing is wrong. He's paid for it. He's paid for it and is taken care of. And he took care of the law. The law is not there for righteousness. So, there is no law. There is no transgression. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So we're not having any of our sins imputed. Now our works that we do, good and bad, will be judged. We know that, judgment seat of Christ. But sin is not imputed to us anymore. There is no law. Remember, Christ is the end of the law. Now look over at Romans 6:18. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin. Well, how did that happen? He took care of the law. So, when people say that they need to stop sinning, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is Christ took care of sin by taking care of the law to a Christian, so all things are lawful now. Really? Yeah. Now, let's look at some more things here. Look at chapter 6, verse 22. It says again, but now being made free from sin. Doesn't it say made free from sinning? Our body's still going to sin. Our body's still doing things wrong. Our body is full of sin. Paul talks about that in the next chapter. It's a sin that dwelleth in me. But he says, it is not I that do it. I'm not the one sinning. It's the works that are out there, and they're not considered sin anymore. They're considered bad works when they burn the judgment seat of Christ. So, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How did he do that? Just by taking care of the law. He walked the law. The law had to be fulfilled, and he says when it was fulfilled, that's what was Jesus' purpose on this earth in the gospel days, was to fulfill the law. He doesn't expect us to do that now. Okay, so just in a nutshell, there's how it came about. When we sing that Christ paid it all and Christ died for our sins, he really did. All of them. Past, present, future. And you hear people say that. Modern Christians agree. Oh, yeah, we agree to that. Well, then why can't you accept what Paul teaches? Because Paul teaches you how that's possible. He teaches about spiritual circumcision. He teaches about imputation. He teaches about all things are lawful. And then he also puts some strings on that. Look at Romans chapter 6. I mean, here's the first question Paul is asked. We're asked the same thing. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer is, God forbid. And then you go through the first 14 verses, and you see that he's not talking about sinning. He's talking about the fact that Christ took care of sin. It's not an issue. It's done with. It's still in our flesh, and it'll burn the judgment seat of Christ as a bad work. But then you get to verse 15, then he says, what then shall we sin? Well, I thought he just asked that. No, it's a different thing here. Because we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. So, the second half is talking about making the right choice. Choose not to do what your flesh wants to do. And that's very difficult for us. We don't do very good at that. Again, during the tribulation, Acts chapter 2, this is what's going to have to happen during the tribulation. They're going to have to stop sinning. But God even knows they can't stop sinning. The Jews never stopped. The Gentiles haven't stopped. The tribulation, they're going to have to stop. God puts the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2. So yes, they will be able to actually stop doing what their flesh wants to do. We make it by choice. And before us, it was the law. So let's look now at a couple strings that are attached to this thing, because all things are lawful. But he says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. I had it up here, but I clicked it down for some reason. Let's look at this expedient thing here. Come on up there. There we go. Expedient. Proper. Suitable for the purpose. Proper under the circumstances. Useful. Profitable. So, really, it says there, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Not all things should be done. Expedient. Is it expedient to do this? Well, no, not really. I guess in some respects it's like yelling, the old standard thing there where you say, yelling fire in a theater. You know, you have the freedom to do that. Just like today, I guess the Supreme Court put this thing out that said those idiots from that church down in Westboro, they have a legal right to say anything they want in public. Well, that's the way it's always been. But what they're doing is not expedient. It's not the right thing to be doing. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on that. We won't get into that one, that's for sure. So there's one. It has to be expedient. You have to determine at the time. See, here we go. Here is our pattern for what we do during the day. If all things are lawful, and we have this liberty in Christ it talks about in Galatians, then why don't we just go do the stuff we want to do and join the modern Christians? They don't have the answers. They don't understand. But what they're doing looks fun, so maybe I can do it because, see, all things are lawful for me. And I understand the way of God more perfectly, so maybe I can help this person see some things by me living and playing with him or her the way they're playing in the world, then I can tell them more some Bible. You know, you just want to go out and play in the world. You just want to dress like the world. You just want to watch what the world watches. And you justify it because all things are lawful. But all things are not expedient. It's still not the right thing to do at the time. Maybe it'll blow your testimony. Yeah, in the darkness of your house or the quietness of your private house, you watch anything you want. Is it expedient? Well, no, because see, we just learned Sunday that there's a tremendous amount of mind control going on, mind damage going on, okay? It's expedient that you can watch it in your own house, but it's still not expedient because it's going to damage your mind. Or it's going to cause you to stay up late. It's going to cause you to be tired. It's going to cause you to want something you didn't even need. Commercials. It's going to cause you to lust in the flesh. It's going to cause you da-da-da-da. Videos. Games. I can stop a game. Oh, I hear that so many times. Okay, then so why don't you stop? Let's get going. Let's go do something valuable. That's okay. I just want to do this. I want to relax. Yeah, you want to shut your brain down because that's what that game is doing. And a year or two later, you don't want to even hear that you're doing something that you wouldn't have done a couple years ago. Why? What happened? Well, all things are lawful, but you were watching some things or playing some things that affected you, and they weren't expedient. Wasn't the thing to do at the time. Okay, now the second half of that verse just says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay, there's another string attached. Sure, all things are lawful, and we understand from Paul how it all comes about. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? It gives us so much assurance. It isn't just some pastor telling us, you know, all you got to do is confess. No, it's more than that, Reverend. Christ actually, I like to say to these people, you know what Christ did for you. Do you know what he did to you? He took that law out of your life. He spiritually circumcised you, separated you from your flesh. So yeah, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Then he says, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay. So what are you doing that you can't stop? And it's lawful, but you can't stop it. Then it becomes a problem, doesn't it? It doesn't become against the law because of the biblical law, and God isn't going to spank you da-da-da-da for you. Why? Because all things are lawful. But the string attached there is, you know, but it still shouldn't bring you into the power of it because it's going to destroy your life eventually. And there's all sorts of things that we all deal with that we're addicted to. And we are. We're addicted to things. We're addicted to activities. We're addicted to seeing things. We're addicted to listening to things. We're, you know, music. Hey, listen to anything you want. It's okay. Might not be expedient. Might blow your testimony with somebody. And it might bring you under the power of music that you can't get away from music. You can't turn it off anymore. Music is very powerful. Boy, music is a powerful thing. Majorly powerful. What else do we have that we're addicted to? Computers. Email. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, Paul talks about somebody, I forgot the person's name, but he said he was addicted to the ministry. That's a good thing. But it's still under the power of. So maybe that's still, unless we have other things in life we need to do as well. Okay, so I got to watch it. I got some more things to follow for this thing here. Okay, so if we go to 1 Corinthians 10, we see that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. There it is again. Adrienne, if you're there, can you imagine going to school? I mean, you know, you can dress the way you want. You can talk the way you want. You can read what you want. You can be out there in the world and participate because all things are lawful. But it's just not expedient, some of the things those kids are doing. And there are some things out there that will put you under the power of that thing. Not just smoking, but that's a good illustration. Smoking, you can't quit. All things are lawful. People make a big fuss about cigarette smoking. Well, sure, it's going to destroy your lungs. Sure, you're going to die a horrible death of emphysema, of the things. Sure, it stinks, and it's a bad testimony. Sure it is. Don't get mad at your grandkids if they start smoking because grandpa smoked or dad smoked or whatever. But the problem there is, the bigger problem is the fact that you're addicted to it. You can't stop it. You're brought under the power of it. You know, TV, videos, video games. You watch these guys, they just got to go to the end. They just got it. And you try to take them away, they get upset. They get mad at you. I can do this. Because deep in their mind, they know that all things are lawful. But high above the clouds, they forget that, you know, you're being addicted to that thing. No, I'm not either. And they get mad at you, whatever. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:23 again says all things are lawful. Not all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What's your learning from this whole thing that you're getting caught up into? Where's edification of the body of Christ? Where's edification of you? Is it something that's going to be positively taught? I mean, you can even learn negatively, but he says to be simple in that which is evil. So you don't need to go out and get drunk to know what it's like to get drunk so you can preach against getting drunk. Which, by the way, puts you under the power of anyway, so you should be doing that. You can go out there in the world, you can dress down and see what it's like to see how bad you feel, and then you can get back to being modest again. You'll understand. Maybe you want to just see how guys will look at you. Kind of experiment a little bit. You don't have any friends, and you just kind of enjoy that. Well, you get caught under the there's no edification going on there. Edifying. Let's go to Galatians 5:13. It says here, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. There's that, all things are lawful, the liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Oh. So we can take this, we can do this. Not if it's going to be an occasion for the flesh. That's kind of too bad. Let's look here at Romans 14:19. Romans 14, that's that chapter about causing those that are weak in the faith kind of getting the trip up a little bit here. Romans 14:19. Romans 14. 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. That doesn't mean when you're with a bunch of worldly people that you do everything they want you to do so you keep peace. No, there's a whole different ballgame. No, you can't justify the fact, well, God wants me to keep peace everywhere I go. Yes, but He also doesn't want you in that situation, so get out of there. Avoid. Withdraw. Come on. Don't just use part of Paul. He says, make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. So we don't really want to cause somebody to stumble here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Oh, I don't like that one here. That isn't what I want. 1 Corinthians 8:9. Yes, it is. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of ours, of yours, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So, there are strings attached, aren't there, to this liberty? Well, we know that. We understand that. But when you look at these modern Christians, and they're doing anything they want, anything that feels good and is enjoyable, and God doesn't stop them from it, even the things that they do, they know they shouldn't be doing, so they can confess them all up. They don't realize that there's damage being done to that stuff. They don't realize that they're blowing their testimony. They don't realize that what they're doing is not expedient. They don't realize what they're doing is putting them under the addiction of it. They don't realize that there's no edification going on here. They don't realize that all they're doing is feeding the flesh, doing an occasion for the flesh. They don't realize that they're, if I say that, they're causing somebody to stumble. Because they don't understand what Paul teaches about this liberty of ours. It's just like America. You know, really, the liberty that America has had is being abused. There's things that are going on in America under the name of freedom that really is not expedient. And it does cause other people to stumble towards concerning America and the beliefs that we usually supposedly have. There's things going on that are just, if there was a flesh involved, it's just worldly things. It has nothing to do with God anymore. And so many people are so addicted to so many things. So, if they could have followed the liberty that Christ gave with the strings attached in their teachings over the schools over these years, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. They've abused their liberty. And what does the government do? Every time something happens, or somebody has an accident, or some kind of a crime, or whatever, they got to come up with a law. They just have to have laws. Why? Just because somebody messed up or something happened? Why throw the law out there? Okay, so now, there's the strings that are attached to this, all things are lawful. But there comes some warnings, because we have that liberty. We have warnings from Paul. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, so all things are lawful. Let's just have a great time. Not a problem. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But we have to be careful with this lawfulness, because verse 10 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So now, here we are. We can get involved with money now. Oh, yeah, we need to. But can we get into it? Can we get into some of the things that we do that we really would be not right to do, not expedient to do that for the money thing? I think probably one of the best illustrations I can think of here is I probably should save it, I guess. But why are you going to work to make money? I mean, is it just because you want as much money as possible? Are you somebody of the male-female clan that really, according to the scriptures, aren't supposed to be working? Really, I mean, that's his design. But if you work, all things are lawful. Go ahead. Go ahead, wear your long hair, guys. I mean, the list goes on and on. But it's not a good idea. And so here's the thing about money. And we know that money is America's God. And probably most of us out there, we would almost do anything for more money. Would you cut down your testimony to make more money? Yeah, I know it. I see it happening. Would you just do something wrong to get more money? Would you not do something right so you can get more money? Well, you have to be careful with this liberty, with this lawful stuff, because it says that you'll err from the faith. And you'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Well, why would that be? Because you'll do anything, because all things are lawful. You'll do it. You'll go against the scriptures to get money, because you want money. Why do you want money? Because you want to spend it. Why do you want to spend it? Because you want what you want. So that whole need for money can be backed out and almost eliminated, really, in lots of cases. So, you know, we got to be careful. You can err from the faith. This lawful liberty that you have can cause you to err from the faith and blow the whole thing out. Because it says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Just because of money. They want money so bad. They'll work anywhere, or they'll work when they're not even supposed to be the ones that are working. Why? Because you just want that money. So this lawfulness is going to cause you to err from the faith, because God isn't going to stop you from doing wrong when it comes to making money. He's not going to stop you. If there's no law right now, so we're not having it marked on us, not imputed to us, then why not go after as much money as you can possibly make? Well, you're going to err from the faith. From the faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. Just over a page or so. Look at 20, actually. Well, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which while some professing have erred concerning the faith. So we have to make sure that we're rightly dividing, because the only other reference to profane and vain babblings is in next page over there, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If it's not rightly divided, the word of truth, then 16 tells us it's profane and vain babblings. So what can you do with this lawfulness? Well, you know what? You can go to any church you want to go to. You can listen to any kind of studies you want. You can even listen to your professors. I mean, you can listen to your bosses. You know, the stores, the business world, the career world out there is getting so psychological and so trying to fix this country with psychiatry and stuff. They're trying to tweak your brain at the workplace. Well, all things are lawful. There you are. You're out there. You better be careful. Because it says right there in verse 18, verse 16, that this profane and vain babblings that you're listening to, because you have all the liberty to pick a church, pick a pastor, you love the guy, you don't want to hurt his feelings, but you know, the list goes on and on. You got to be careful, because that profane and vain babbling is going to cause you to increase into more ungodliness. That's what it says. And that's what he says up there. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. While some professing have erred concerning the faith. So this lawfulness that we have can cause us to err from the faith. It can cause us to, because it's not expedient. It might be an occasion for the flesh, and it seems so fun for the flesh. Now you're addicted. Got the power over you. And before you know it, you've erred from the faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Just a couple of verses down here. Who concerning the truth, these are these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that their resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. You've got the liberty, you've got this, all things are lawful, and forget the strings, wouldn't take much at all, but there's people out there that want to overthrow your faith. They don't want you to dress like that. They don't want you to talk like that. They don't want you to not watch this. They don't want you to be able to get up and walk away from something that you're watching that comes up. They don't want you to be able to turn off a commercial. They don't want you to be able to stay out of work because that isn't your design by God. They want to trip you down. They want to knock you down. And then there's people that say that the resurrection is past already. Why would they say something like that? Oh, maybe it's because it's like these people today that say, well, you know what? We're past the tribulation. It's already happened. The second coming has already come. We're in the millennium now. We are? This is it? Well, that's disappointing. Oh, well. Still, have your faith overthrown. Well, we won't get into these. We've talked about them so many times. With this liberty that we have and this lawfulness, we have to remember that God still tells us to avoid. He still tells us to withdraw from. He still tells us to have no company with. And if you don't know what those things are, then I suggest you get out a little Bible study concordance and you type in avoid. See who and what we're to avoid. Type up from such withdraw. You'll be surprised at who we're supposed to withdraw from, including family. Have no company with. I forgot the other phrases, what they are. It's okay to go around these people. No, it's not. It's not going to break your fellowship with God, because there's nothing you can do to break fellowship with God. It's going to mess up your judgment seat of Christ, but it's also going to possibly mess up your day-to-day life. It's going to mess up your children, your kids, your aunts and uncles, your nieces. Because they're going to watch you do something that you at one time didn't believe you should be doing. But now you are. You know what's happening? You're able to justify that some of the stuff we're doing is lawful, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is, you're not following this through. You keep this up and you're going to give up. You're going to quit. You're going to have more fun in this world, more and more and more, because you're not following through Paul's warnings about the faith. They're going to overthrow your faith. You're going to err concerning faith. Because we have all things are lawful. Well, all things are lawful, but they're not expedient. We're looking at some warnings here that with this liberty that we have. See, the modern Christian doesn't have any warnings with the liberty they think they have. Because they have an unknown God. They think that God just loves and forgives and don't worry about it anymore. Now that I'm born again, God doesn't care what I do. Then you get the strong guys. Oh, you got the Bible thumpers out there. Yeah, God will get you for that stuff. Oh, I don't see that anywhere in the Scriptures. Well, see, you've erred from the faith. You're going to go hang around people that are more fun to hang around than those that are King James Bible, Paul-following people. Yeah, that's probably true. But it's not the right thing to do. You can stay up until 2 and 3 in the morning. You get the liberty to do that. I mean, that's lawful. But it's not expedient. Come on. Grow up. We need to grow up as a Christian and realize that, sure, we have a tremendous liberty here, but we need to be responsible with it. People have a hard time thinking now that you're saved, you can go do anything you want. That isn't what he says. He says all things are lawful. Then he puts those strings on there. Be careful. There's going to become occasion of the flesh. It's going to become a power over you. It's not going to edify anybody at all, especially yourself, even the testimony of the risen Savior and of Paul and the King James Bible thing. You know, those guys down there in Westboro, they're King James only. When I heard that, it just irritated me. The devil's going to use these King James only guys now and really just trash the King James Bible. Oh, you King James Bible? Oh, do you know that pastor down there in Westboro, that idiot down there? I hope they give it like Paul says. I'd be glad to tell you what I think about all this. Ask me, okay? Now, they're going to do the King James Bible a huge, huge bad testimony. They already have, but now it's going to really fly. That's too bad. So, you know, with all this lawfulness that we have, all things are lawful, there are some beware signs if you walk the path of the world out there. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Let me show you a couple of beware signs. We just had some warnings about our faith erring from our faith. Not me. Come on now. We have all things are lawful. We can go play with anything, do anything, watch anything, see anything, do anything. But there's some strings attached to that stuff, and that's probably what's happening to you. Or us. Now look in Acts chapter 13. We're looking at the sign, beware. Acts, way back to Acts 13, huh? Well, that's getting pretty close to the dangerous territory for doctrinal stuff. Well, let's just look at this for a minute here. Acts chapter 13, look at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, can you imagine such a thing? See? And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. How could you think such a thing? Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Is that the kind of beware we're supposed to be bewaring of here? Well, he's talking to Jews here. And you know, if you get a chance to talk to these Great Commission people, you would have to say to them, listen, you have the liberty to do this thing, but you know, you're doing something wrong right there. I mean, that really is a wrong thing to be looking at or drinking or eating or watching or dressing or whatever. Aren't you afraid of losing your salvation? Well, no, we don't believe you can lose your salvation. Well, that's good. I'm glad you can't, because you can't lose your salvation. You know why? Well, God just loves me enough not to... No, he doesn't just love you enough. He took care of the law. And what you're doing right there, okay, so you can't lose your salvation. We know that. But can you lose your fellowship with God? They believe this. So if they believe you can lose your salvation, and they believe that you can lose your fellowship, why are you dressed and talking and going and doing and watching what you're watching? So he's saying this to the Jews. You know, he says here, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Paul was telling these guys the truth, and he knows they're not going to hear it. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. The Gentiles had overheard that stuff and said, man, I'm interested. I'll listen to that stuff, yeah. And they find out that verse 43 talks about the grace of God. We're continuing in the grace of God. Because none of us on our little website right here, none of us in our church, whatever, we're not sinningless. We're dead to sin, so that's not a problem. Nothing's imputed to us. But see, you have to know Paul to understand that. And these guys won't go to Paul. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, these are the verses to show people if they'll let you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Concision are the Jewish people that used to believe that you need to get circumcised. Now they get circumcised after the rising of Jesus Christ. That's a concision, like an incision. They're cutting up people. That's pretty good bewaring. Beware of what? Dogs? Evil workers? And those that still think you need to follow the law. Look at Colossians 2:8. Just one page over? Not two pages over. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit is getting you to think that you're just really something special and God's not going to do that. You know, that kind of stuff. And philosophy, world philosophy, goes against this Bible so much. It's not even funny anymore. There's just such an attack on this Bible. So we got some things to beware. And let's finish up here when he says, now take heed. Now, you guys be careful out there. You can get into this, all things are lawful. And remember now, don't use it to be an occasion for your flesh. And don't do it if it's not expedient. Come on, don't do that. And don't do it if it's not going to edify. If it's going to put you under the power of it, going to cause somebody to stumble, it's best you don't do it. But I can, because all things are lawful. Yeah, but not all things are expedient. Come on. That's the way things are. And he says, listen, if you have that lawfulness out there and you want to go out and get a job because you need money so bad, I'm telling you, you're going to err from the faith. So you be careful out there. Oh, I can handle it. Boy, you start making money first you got to get over the shock that government gets so much of it. That's a challenging thing, isn't it, out there, people? Okay, so anyway. Then he says, you know what? You've got this liberty. You've got this law. All things are lawful. But I got to tell you, you better take heed. You better take heed. Don't get your flesh overpowered, overthrown. Don't get your flesh mixed up. Your faith overpowered. Don't get your faith mixed up. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 21. That rings a bell, doesn't it? Romans 11:21. Now we're looking at... Take heed, he says. Be careful now, he says here, verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches... Oh, that's interesting. Let's go up to 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and the standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Well, is he talking to me individually? Because if all things are lawful, why would he... get rid of me. Why, what's going on here? Well, this isn't talking to us. This is talking to the Gentiles as a whole here. Because if you go down to verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, that's the Jews, Old Testament there. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, they also shall be cut off. We know what that's all about. It's about Jews. When this whole world, Americans included, are done with Paul, they don't want to hear about this goodness of God stuff anymore, then he's coming. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, if we could heed this one, this would be good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, that's Paul, I have laid the foundation. By the way, if you've got Jesus Christ from reading from Paul, then you've got the right foundation, because it has to be laid by Paul. If you got the Jesus Christ from the Gospels because you're born again based on what Peter and John and Matthew. I don't believe you got the. I don't think you've got the foundation. You've got to get your foundation from Paul. The foundation is the risen Savior. But anyway, he goes beyond that. He says, "And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So we have to be careful what we're doing with this all things are lawful stuff, because if we're not careful, it could just burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. And God isn't going to tell us today whether you should do that or should not do it. He's going to tell you if it's right or wrong. How do you know that? Read your Bible. You know what's right and wrong. You don't? We're supposed to. Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Really? Ooh, that's pretty tough. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Wow. Pretty powerful thing that we have the law. We don't have the law to worry about, but we have to be careful because it might not be the right thing to do. You see what that is there? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. How are we doing for time? Going to get it all in. Not a problem. Verse 12. And he says, in all these things, what do we got here? I got 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, there, I was reading the wrong verse again. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, see, we have all this liberty. We have all this, all things are lawful now. We can just be macho and do all these things we ought not be doing. But you can be real strong at it. You can be the man. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth. You get the freedom to get to that point about your own self, but I'd be careful with that. Two more verses and we're done. Galatians 5:15. Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So what is this? Well, we have the law. All things are lawful. So you can either put up with what your neighbor or brother or somebody's doing. You can ignore it. You can get out there and be around it. You can even participate in it. But you got to realize it's going to cause you damage. And lastly, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. No, I'm sorry. Yes, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Where are we at here? 2 Timothy 3:16. There we go. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that is still true, even though we still have all things are lawful. We get into that book and we find out what is still the right and wrong thing of a Christian. That's what Paul is all about. Helping us do the right thing to please God. And if you get up and look at Titus chapter 2, here's all these lists of things, verses 1 to 14. Then you get down to 15. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. That's what a preacher is supposed to still do. Why would we have to preach about anything if all things are lawful and there's no strings attached, nothing to worry about, God will guide us, God will keep us from making the wrong mistakes. He doesn't do that. He lets us make those mistakes. So, anyway, there's a word that's hard for people to understand, say all things are lawful. The word lawful. They just don't get it. Even though they live their Christian life like they believe it, they don't want to hear it from Paul. And Paul shows us the details of it. And it's probably, to me, one of the greatest things about Christianity, the truth about truth in Christianity, is that all things are lawful, and we need to grow up as a Christian and do the right thing. When we mess up, it's not imputed. And we understand why and how it took place. that'll give us more assurance and more confidence because we understand the Scriptures. We look to that Bible for our, how does he say this? That King James Bible for all matters of faith and practice, something like that. Oh, do you really? I don't think you do. Whoever makes that famous statement about that thing. But anyway, there you go.